Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Marlon Ranger, and of course, I got my man co-host, Lou the Man, Lou the King, coming back in soon enough. Today is a special day. Why is that? And it's also even more so of a great weekend, big-time weekend. You can expect a whole lot coming out of the NFL, the NBA, and also big fight this weekend, and we'll get into the fight and get our picks, settle that out a little bit later on, but of course... Starting off to begin with, got the NFL draft today. What's up, Lou?
Not much. The King.
Yes.
Not me.
Hey, your nickname is also King Arthur. Most people don't realize that. That's why
yeah,
I call him
the King.
Yeah, it's
not spelled the same.
Hey, just trying to make it work here. Look at the front row of the draft as it's coming up, of course. Must debate on the number one and number two pick. Not sure who is going to be picked as the second pick. They have a pretty good idea of who's going to be number one as soon as this is picked in the first pick of the draft, as we estimate that Tampa Bay will go ahead and select Jameis Winston. This is a big-time feat. Right here, big-time feat. Big-time feed. Big-time main event. But we'll have to look carefully at looking at the coverage. I've heard so many different rumors from the number two spot, especially saying Tennessee going to trade San Diego in order to pick up Phillip Rivers, and they'll give up Marcus Mariota out there in San Diego. I've heard that rumor. I've heard that, you know, the Eagles are definitely trying to reunite with Mariota because we know Chip Kelly is the coach, and he used to coach Mariota at Oregon when he was there. So, you know, he knows – or has a feel for the type of athlete and player that he is. So he might be reaching up to get that second round, you know, that second pick. But it's a lot of trades, and they're asking for the world, as it's been so-called quoted, for, you know, Mariota. And, of course, you know, 3 through probably 8 or 10 is basically defensive linemen and offensive linemen. And will a running back get put in the top 10 this year? We don't know. We're not sure. We're not for certain. So we'll have to take a look. And this year, the draft is held right in Chicago, Chi-Town. I call that my adopted home. When I first came to the United States, I lived in Chicago long time ago. So long ago that it's really not even right that I claim them. But when I was a youth, I used to cheer for all the Chicago teams, and I consider that to be an adopted home to a certain degree, but not really because I never really lived there for that long. But nevertheless, it is there. I think it's a bigger event than it would be in New York. New York is almost like it's just, oh, another NFL draft. Okay, big-time deal. But now this is in Chicago. You can even see from the crowd and the lights. I'm watching the ESPN version over the NFL Network version because I love Mel Kiper Jr. I love Boom. I love John Gruden. You know what I'm saying? You can't go wrong with those three right there. That's the Rat Pack. You know, they go ahead and they make it official, fun for us to watch with the commentary. So this ought to be great. But, Lou, I have no doubt in my mind. Well, let me take that away. There might be slight doubt, but not much. I think, and we all come to the reasoning that, you know, that Jameis Winston's probably going to more than likely be the first pick. And,
I think more of the question is where Mariota's going to go. From the start of everything, you think, okay, which one of the two will be one and who will be second? But now, lately, you're hearing Mariota might not even go as a second pick.
I think he's going to go as a second pick. It's just a matter of who's going to try to jump up and trade for him or offer somebody for him. I heard Cleveland's name, I've heard Philadelphia, and I've heard the Tennessee Titans and San Diego. Those four teams, when you have that much kind of, you know, that much activity, you can bet your life that something's going to happen. You know what I mean? So, right now I know the first pick is on the clock. I don't know when they're actually going to announce it. I know it's probably going to be like 10 minutes. So, they're doing, right now, they're doing all the, you know, necessary announcements and all the introductions. You know, nobody likes a commissioner. If you're a fan anyway, knowing how much money he makes, $20 to $40 million a year, this guy. That's crazy, man. Good Lord, that's what he made last year. He could make a little bit more this year based upon, you know, the popularity of the sport. It's the most popular sport in the United States. I mean, generated over, what, $18 billion or something like that? Some ridiculous. It didn't generate $18 billion, but it's projected that it'll start making $18 billion within the next few years here. That's ridiculous money. That's ridiculous. I mean, you can take that number. That's almost $1 billion for each team. Almost. I think it's, what, 32 teams in the NFL. Of course, they're going to expand that and bring in, you know, L.A., and they'll probably have two more teams. I think San Diego's moving to L.A., and L.A. is also going to have another team. So they might have two teams, and then, of course, they're trying to go overseas to London. But when you look at this, man, it's pretty – I mean, NFL pretty much making – each team is getting close to, like, making anywhere from $800 million to $900,000 per team. So they're not broke. I don't know why their salary cap is so low. You know, you're thinking after they pay off everybody, they're clearing way over $500 million. Got to be.
Yeah.
Not spending that much. So we'll see how that goes. The spenders, of course, right now, Tennessee's on the clock, and I'm watching Mel Kiper, his head moving 1,000 times over. That's crazy. But, you know, he's saying – a lot of great things today. It'll be the first round, and the second, and the third, and all of that will be this weekend. It seems like this comes around so quick, Luke. But, you know, that's the two biggest stories, the storyline is, you know, between Mariota and Winston. Let me tell you, Winston, I realized Todd McShay gave Winston a 97 rating overall. If it had not been for the off-field situation, he probably would have had a higher grade as Andrew Luck. And I also heard that, you know, in the classroom where they're studying plays, that he actually might have done a little bit better than Andrew Luck. So that goes to show you, but he doesn't have Luck speed, nor I think Luck is a little bit more athletic, and he doesn't get credit for it. But, man, I tell you, it's going to be interesting to see who they're going to pick. It's 7 minutes on the clock right now. Lou, what's your biggest concern about Jameis Winston if you're picking? And if you had to pick between the two, who would you take between him and Mariota?
Well, I would take Winston, especially if it's Tampa Bay. I would take Winston because he's the better athlete. But also in concern with that.
I don't think
that,
he's a better athlete.
Well, I think so. You know, in college-wise, maybe not, but going into the NFL, he's more, I think Winston's more suited right now. Because, you know, we always have, in both sports, you always have college players, you know, all Americans in college, but when it translates to the NBA, it doesn't always translate that well. So I think he'll have a better start as far as that goes. But on the side of that is the behavior. The attitude and the behavior. But that's always the common issue with him. And I don't think Tampa Bay is always known of having good responding players.
Yeah, well, you said a mouthful. This is the thing, like, athletic-wise, you know, if it's just based on athletics, you know, speed, strength, I would think Mariota's more athletic, but we're talking about the position of quarterback. Who's going to be the better quarterback? Who's going to make the plays and the throws? And as a quarterback, I don't see how you could not take Winston as a translation NFL. You know, Florida State runs a pro-style offense. This guy reads defenses and makes, like, miraculous throws. Like, he puts it and creates his own space in the pocket. He can throw it and kill you from the pocket. And if he has to, you know, get out of the pocket just for a couple of yards to get you, you know, put the defense on their heel to a certain degree, he can do that as well. So it's like he has IQ. He has the football in between the lines, you know, skill set. But what the problem is that it's the off-the-field antics, you know. And I got a chance to see his 30 for 30, or not 30 for 30, but like the little draft special for him. And I got to say, I started to realize that's just really part of who he is. You know what I mean? Like some people, you think like they're acting, but he's just really kind of a hard guy that you would have to see kind of hard to like because he – comes off a certain way, but it's almost like that's really who he is. So from a certain degree, I can kind of respect the fact that that is who he is. And, you know, from a football standpoint, I would take him. If I wanted a great person I could mold and put him in, I might take Mariota because I think his mentality is better and he'll be less of a problem. He'll be more hardworking. He'll be like a Russell Wilson. You know, coming in. Looks like they're about to go ahead and make the pick here. We'll see what's going on as, you know, Roger Goodell walks up to the podium, makes his call. But that's what I would say. I definitely would think that I would take Winston just based off his abilities and talent as a quarterback and as it translates. I say the Buccaneers, they select. Hey, Tate Winston, I mean, no surprise there, right?
Mm-hmm. Surprise.
I don't want surprise. I think it was the most logical choice to make, really, to be quite honest with you. It was just made the most sense out of everybody. Was there. And, you know, as a prospect, like we say, Winston stands like 6'3 and a half, 6'4, and he just kills you from the pocket. He can just flat out throw the ball, great release, great mechanics. You got to give it to him. So I would it's not so much of a surprise now. So surprise, I guess, is going to come on next with the next pick here. Who is Tennessee going to select? Are they going to take Mariota? Are they going to trade? So we're not necessarily sure, you know. We'll have to see if that's going to happen because I think a lot of the teams are going to pretty much put a package together and try to come up with something, and we'll see how that works out. But I think they'll probably select and maybe trade. You realize, too, in the NFL draft, they're able to make the pick and then turn around and then trade it. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's a possibility, too. And that's crazy how that could turn out. But, you know, Mariota is, you know, I watched him. He's not bad. It's just like anything else. You know, when you run, like you say, you made a comparison to the guys that are in college ball and when they transition to the NBA, is that when you're used to playing a specific style, right, you play a specific style of a sport, and it doesn't necessarily translate to an NBA level. This is when there becomes, you know, much of an issue. And the same thing for football. You know, that spread option, whether they want to or not, the NFL eventually is going to have to go that way because more and more college teams are using this fast break offense. And now, you know, Kelly comes in and he's showing that it can be done and that it's possible. And so is Seattle. They've gone to 2 Super Bowls in a row now using an offset or a brand of spread option. You know what I mean? So it's really difficult for, you know, defenses to even play against teams or beat teams like this. You know, they can say what they want, but it's proven itself over the past couple of years. When Tebow actually came in the league first, you can go back as far as Vince Young. I mean, Vince Young, they basically try to get him to play somewhat of a conventional style, but what was happening was that he was able to stretch the pocket and create plays, and he was running with his legs. So was Vic, and nobody had the correct offense to put him in. And now, you know, the Tim Tebow, they went ahead and just did it, and it showed tremendous success. Of course, Tebow has limited skills, and so, you know, as a quarterback, he wasn't accurate enough. If you have Mariota and you have Russell Wilson, then you would know that, hey, these guys are very, very, how would we say, Lou, very accurate in the pocket. Another thing I like about Mariota, he doesn't turn the ball over. I mean, I think his entire career, he's only thrown 13 interceptions. He doesn't fumble the ball too often. This guy makes plays, and he doesn't create turnovers. So I think he's more moldable, and once they're able to mold him into whatever system they're going to use, and I think you got to surround him with a bevy of players that's going to complement his skill set. You know what I'm saying? Give him some talent around him so that he can make plays and be his most effective, because I think in the long run, he could be something pretty special. I mean, I like him. It's just that I like Winston a little slight bit better. Now, if I had to pick over the course of maybe, like, say, what, 5 to 10 seasons on down the line, who's going to be the one? Who would you pick? But to me, that's a hard choice. But who would you pick?
I would go with Mariota.
No, I think I might be with you. You know, unless, you know, Winston somehow, some way, develops the ability to mature just a little bit, I would say him. But see, he doesn't have the mindset, and I think Mariota does, and he has all the other intangibles going for him as far as, you know, being athletic, being super fast, super quick, can run out the pocket, create plays with his leg. I think he's just a taller version of Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson has already a Super Bowl and 2 Super Bowl appearances. People don't want to admit this, but so far he's been the most productive quarterback out of that class with Andrew Luck and RG3, which was Andrew Luck and RG3 were 1 and 2. You know, Wilson was a third-round pick based because of his size. And now here you got a guy that's 6'2", 6'3", and he has the same level of intangibles, except he's taller. Mm-hmm. So it's a positive, depending on where he goes, and we're going to see. I think there'll be some kind of shift, something extravagant coming on here with the pick. I don't know if it's going to happen now or later on, but I think they'll get it done. Philadelphia doesn't reach for him. We'll see what happens, but not necessarily sure. There's basically a minute and 45 seconds left on the ticker, so it's not very difficult to see, you know, who they might pick and who might pick them up or get them. So, you know, if he goes to Tennessee, I love him because, you know, the Tennessee Titans are my favorite team. So, but he needs help, you know what I mean? You got to give him some pieces around him so he can be successful. And I don't know about Ken Whisenhunt, you know, because he always had that conventional quarterback. And I don't think he can – I think he can play conventional, but I don't want him to be conventional. I think he needs to be a little bit more versatile. So, you know. That's a great filler. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think if it's some time to go – goes a little bit longer in as they play further seasons, I believe that guy will absolutely, you know what I mean, be the first pick. I mean, not first pick, but he might be better in the long run because, you know, he has the right mentality. So,
yeah,
we'll see how it turns out. But it looks like they're about to pick. We'll see who they decide to pick up. And I'm guessing Mariota. Might be a trade later on. So they got the pickers in, so we'll see if they pick. It might surprise somebody and pick somebody, you know, Leonard Williams or somebody like that, but you don't really have a quarterback. I mean, are you really confident in Mettenberger or Zettenberger? I'm not. So I'm not going to say I'm not. I just know that if I have an opportunity to get Mariota or Zettenberg, I'm taking Mariota. So we'll see how this goes. Coming up on the pick. The pick is in. See who they select. What's the commissioner gets up there? He's taking his time to get up there, so it's starting to make me wonder, like, what's going on?
And the snappers in the building.
Yeah, you know? Big time snapper. Be in front of Pete watching these guys. It's going to be an interesting draft class this year, too. I think it's a lot. A very mixed batch, you know, coming in. A lot of wide receivers and running backs. Not a lot of running backs, but two really good ones. And here's the pick that they select. Okay, yeah, so they picked up Mariota, which is good. So now, for right now, he's playing for us, my boys, but I don't know if they're going to jump to get him. You see what I'm saying? Well, we'll
yeah.
But, I think that was a really good pick. I hope they keep him. I don't. I really want him now. You know what I'm saying? But you know what's really, like, messed up? What I just realized ESPN did that was, like, messed up? Like, Jameis Winston was picked, and, you know, they didn't even put the camera on him once. And it's like Mariota is picked, and the camera's on him. Like, wow.
That's disrespect. You got to show the good guy.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, he is a good guy. I got to.
Good guy for the camera, but not the type of guy the NFL really wants.
No, not they don't like Tim Tebow's and Russell. No, they do now because they're showing that they can be successful, right? But if they didn't, you could be taught have all this ability, and nobody would know it. You know what I'm saying? Like nobody would expect it, or nobody would know it, because nobody would take the time to pick them up. It's like it's crazy, boy. Well, he's fast too. Well, he's faster than Russell Wilson. So you know, we'll see. I think they need to let him sit and probably bring him in halfway through the season when they're about, I don't know, like 2-6 or something. I watch it as soon as I'm saying this. Watch these fools trade them, and that's gonna like. Finally showed Winston. It just now showed Winston. That's crazy, ain't it? That's wild. They showed Mariota first. Yeah, so that's the first two picks. No surprise there, you know what I mean? We figured there might have been some kind of movement or some people trying to trade or move up to gain some picks, and we see how it goes. You still have some big-time players on there. You got the big-time wide receiver, Amari Cooper. You still got Williams, defensive end from USC up there, Leonard Williams, and you got Fowler. We'll see what they do. It's going to be interesting. Slot checking. It's going to be somewhat of a douse, but while it's on break, we'll go ahead and slide to the NBA here, Lou, and take a look at what's going on with the playoffs. And there's some great news, two big losses in the playoffs. What do you think, my friend? What's going on?
Well, right now, the one big loss is Kevin Love from the Cavaliers. As expected, he dislocated his shoulder. But on top of the dislocating his shoulder, he has some ligament tears as well, so he won't be recovering from that for 4 to 6 months. So he's out entirely.
And as you know,
that J.R. Smith is suspended for 2 games for his altercation. Kendrick Perkins, he just gets his foul was upgraded from a flagrant 1 to a flagrant 2.
And I mean, explain the terminology terminology for that, my man, when it comes to that. Explain that. Between the difference between flagrant one, flagrant twos, and when you get upgraded to a flagrant two, what happens the next time if you get like another flagrant one or a flagrant two? What happens?
Well,
if you don't mind.
Flagrant one is basically, these are basically how hard foul, you know, calls. But the difference between the two, flagrant one, it's borderline intentional, not intentional, but it's a severe play. So you may not have meant to do it, but you're still going to get a flagrant one just based on, you know, how hard the foul is. Now, flagrant two is basically you just blatantly just going out to hit the guy, not making no type of play on the ball whatsoever. You're just body checking the guy.
So that's the type of foul. But explain why they have like ones and twos, like in terms of if another person gets, like say how they gave Perkins a flagrant two, it was upgraded. What happens if he gets a flagrant one or flagrant two in this game or his upcoming game?
Well, a flagrant two, I think the new rule now is with the flagrant two. It's been like that for a few years. If you get a flagrant two, it's automatic ejection. Because like I say, you're just blatantly just trying to hurt the person, which is what happened with J.R. Smith with his situation. He got an automatic flagrant two, and he was ejected from the game.
Man.
Yeah.
You said it, man.
And speaking of that, we had a same situation like that happen at today's game where the Bulls are up by 30 at halftime against the Bucks, and it's been real chippy between the players. And
yeah.
Antetokounmpo has been ejected from the game for...
It's over then.
Yeah, for a flagrant two, for basically body checking Mike Dunleavy while he's taking a three-point shot.
Why would he do something?
He basically
just
threw in the towel.
Yeah, he just gave it up. I mean,
yeah,
did he just do that just a few seconds ago, or?
This was before halftime. They're in halftime now, so this was like a minute or 2 minutes going in halftime.
Yeah, see, because they're down by, like, what, 20, 30, 32 points are down. So
yeah.
This season, unless Chicago allows the largest comeback in NFL, you know, NBA history in the playoffs and a game six to happen, you know, that's basically what's going down. Looks like Dante Fowler Jr. pretty much got picked up by the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's a slim or quick update. But go ahead, Dad Lou. I'm sorry, I just had to update that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that situation is pretty much a wrap for Milwaukee. Let me just go ahead and give the victory to Chicago now.
Yeah. Hey, so they'll be playing against Cleveland without Kevin Love and without J.R. Smith for two games. That gives us the opportunity to actually make it interesting, but I still think they're going to lose. I'll be the first one to tell you right now, the Bulls are going to lose to the Cavs, and I'm going to say in six games.
Yeah.
That's my prediction.
And don't also forget the fact that the Cavs still have Mike Miller, the two shooters, Mike Miller and James Jones, who haven't been playing much at all. But now with this turn of events, they're going to receive more play time.
Yeah, and Mike Miller's a killer. Like, sharp shooter, that's pretty much going to take the place of Kevin Love from a shooting standpoint. And, of course, you know, Jones will go ahead and be the measure for the rebounds.
He's not much of a rebounder, but he is a sharp shooter.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how this is going to go
down. Yeah. And for the Grizzlies, you know, Mike Conley, he got injured.
Was up like this big. It's almost like Milwaukee just kind of just gave up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
expected more of an effort after that game one in Chicago. I guess Chicago came in this one saying, hey, we're going to get out of the first round. But, you know, they really have an opportunity now for a run to the final spot. But to be quite honest with you, I think the best team that I've seen in the Eastern Conference would be, I think it's Washington. I really do. They've looked the best from what I've seen, right? I mean, am I wrong with it, or what do you think? Hello, Lou?
Hello?
Lou looks like he's having a bit of technical difficulty. Call drop, so he'll be turning that back again. But, you know, I'm looking at what Chicago is doing. I'm looking at what Cleveland has done. And I'm looking at Washington. I've looked at Atlanta. And with those teams, obviously there goes Lou popping in again. Lou, you there?
Hello.
Hello, Lou, you there?
Hello, hello.
Bean, you there? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, there we go. It was my headset. I connected all
the way together.
I know Bean just called in, but I couldn't hear. Oh, couldn't hear him, so his call dropped. But anyway,
good.
Speaking of which, though, Lou, looking at it from the standpoint of where we see the Eastern Conference, I feel that Washington Wizards are actually the better team. I think right now they've played the most consistent basketball. They pretty much just swept through Toronto. Of course, Toronto was missing the playoff injury, but come on, you know, as all in all, they've looked the most impressive. With Paul Pierce coming in there, integrating his style of play, you know, matching it up with Wall and Bradley Beal and Lane. All those guys are playing cohesively better than anybody else that I've seen in the Eastern Conference, especially now with Cleveland missing, you know, J.R. Smith and Kevin Love. For at least two the rest of the season. And like you say, Mike Miller come off, but he's a defensive liability, right? He can shoot the shot, but defensively he's a liability. You know, if I don't know who's going to be matched up on him, but it's not going to look pretty. But Bean, are you there?
Hey, you say Kevin Love gone?
He's done for the season.
What? J.R. Smith?
He's done.
For two games.
I wouldn't have much fear. I think Cleveland will find a way to beat Chicago. And I'm a Chicago fan, and a lot of people are going to come back and say, am I crazy? No, I'm not crazy. I don't think Chicago has it in them to beat Cleveland. I think LeBron will step up. I think Kyrie Irving will step up. And I think those other players off the bench, there'll be another player that just comes out of nowhere who will come and dominate in place of Love. There's maybe a collective of maybe two or three players, but I expect Cleveland to get to the semifinals. And by the way it looks, I don't think they can beat Washington with a devastated or decimated roster. Lou, let me hear what you have to say. Tell me who you think is. Well, we'll get to the West in the secondary, sir. Let's stay on task here. Lou, tell me about the Eastern Conference. Who do you feel is going to come out of the Eastern Conference and why? And Ben, we'll get to you next.
Nah, I can't answer no question.
Okay, well, we'll just ask you who you think after Lewis finishes. Go ahead.
Yeah, Washington is definitely looking the best in the East right now. Everybody is playing cohesively. They're playing as I expected them to play, you know, all season. Of course, they didn't have all their pieces together all season. And, you know, Bradley Beal is really is doing a lot more with the team now, playing a little more better defense. He's starting to be more than just known as a shooter. And John Wall, of course, John Wall scoring, get to lane whenever he wants. You know, over 10 assists, led the league in assists. And Paul Pierce, you know, Paul Pierce is in a great position because he doesn't really have to do anything. Bill Wall, Gortat, and Nene, they could cover the whole game. Pierce could just sit tight until fourth quarter and just be the fourth quarter truth that he's always been known to be. Just put up 12 points. Average 12 points for fourth quarter, and everything's all right with them. So they're the most dangerous team in the East. Now, as far as going, comparing up to Cleveland, I think they, line-wise, I think they could have an advantage of Cleveland in the front line as far as offense. Rebounding, I'll give that to Cleveland because Tristan Thompson is more of a high-energy player than Nene is as far as going on boards. Nene will definitely get some boards. Offensively, he's a better player. Gortat at the center position, more versatile than Mozgov. But on either way, it's very defensive-wise, Cleveland has them on that perspective, and offensive is Washington. So it goes either or in that situation. And as far as the backcourt goes, that's real. That one is real 50-50 as well because you got Kyrie Irving and John Wall. So I can't really make a choice between that one.
They're going to cancel each other out. Depending on which Kyrie. See, sometimes you get Kyrie Irving that's just really good, and then you get this guy that's just like probably one of the best players in the NBA. If that guy shows up, I would give him the edge. I'd give him the mental edge because I think he has it together a little bit more mentally than John Wall does. But you got Bradley Beal too. That's the thing. Like, I think he's really the main key, him, and then also Pierce coming off playing the way he's playing. So it looks crazy. Oh, just to give a quick update before we get into heavy, Amari Cooper was the third pick in the draft. Went to the Raiders. That's the best wide receiver in college football that I've seen. This guy reminds me of Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, and Larry Fitzgerald all wrapped in one. He has big playability, speed, and he has great hands. What a combination, right? So big, nice pick for the Raiders. And Washington's up on the clock now. But, okay, Lou, let me get into Beanie there. Who do you think is coming out of the Eastern Conference?
You know, I got to go with my boys, my team, Cleveland.
Who's your boys? I thought your boys didn't make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, they Miami Heat fan, you know, I'm a LeBron fan, and so, you know, I think LeBron is going to find a way to pull it out. The Wizards is strong. Now, I just watched their game the other night. They got a real strong team, but we're talking about LeBron James here. So, I mean, that's just like putting him against, you know, he's just a guy that you just can't count him out, you know. So, I got to go with Cleveland.
Yeah, well, I feel you. And he does up the level. And, I expect him to make some big plays. Okay, that's good. And I would just slide to the West. But before we slide to the West, Lou, let me get in this Redskins selection.
I got a question right there.
Okay, hold on. Let me get this pick. Okay, they do what we always say. You know, they pick the offensive lineman, somebody to protect RG3, keep him, you know, healthy and not injured. So that was a pretty good solid pick. So far, it's going according to the way that it's been projected on everybody's draft board. So go ahead, Lou. Bean, ask me the question before we get to the Western Conference.
No, I just had a quick question. Did they get Tampa Bay, do they pick yet?
Yeah, it was the first pick, sir.
Okay, I had missed it. I was just wondering. So
they picked Winston.
Okay.
You're really not fond of, but to be quite honest.
Did the Dolphins do anything yet?
Well, nobody cares about them, but I think they're like, they'll probably catch that around maybe 10, 10:30. So they pick real, like, I think around like 17, 14, I think they got the 14th pick. So you got a long time, and it doesn't matter because you guys won't do anything anyway, you know. But the only good thing you did was bring in Sue, and we'll see what they do. But anyway, to more pressing matters that really matter, to get into the Western Conference, is you look at what's going on there, and, man, is it me? Or I got to say, Golden State is very solid, man, but you know who scares me the most, man? It's those defending champions in San Antonio. Seems like Memphis went ahead and closed out Portland. They're out of there. Yeah. And, of course,
they looking strong.
You know, Memphis have an injury with Conley to his face, the broken face, or broken eyebone,
yeah.
I should say, fractures in his face. And then you look at what Houston did. Houston looks very pretty
looking
impressive,
strong, too,
but I don't think they get past the next round. When they face, don't they face the winner between the Clippers and San Antonio? They play the winner, right?
Yeah.
So,
I think they'll get past the Clippers, but I don't think they'll get past San Antonio.
I don't think they get past either one of them. Mm. I think the best team in the West outside of Golden State is between the Clippers and San Antonio. I truly believe those two teams are the Clippers are good. They're really good. If they just knew how to shoot free throws,
yeah.
they might be up 3-2. You know, and
I would love to see Golden State and the Cavs. I think that would be a good championship game. I just that would be nice to see that though. I just had to put that in there.
I would like to see. You know, I kind of want to see the same thing. Actually, I don't want to see the Cavs. Actually, I would rather see. Because, see, everybody on the Cavs is not healthy. I'd rather see the Bulls and Golden State.
Oh, man, come on. They're going to kill the Bulls, man. With Putin,
no,
man, come on, Putin.
I don't think they
do nothing.
They won't kill the Bulls. Because, see, what you have to remember, when highly offensive teams, usually defensive teams, win those matchups in any championship. You even just look at what happened with the Broncos in the NFL when they faced off against Seattle in the best defense. You look at all your highly offensive teams when they match up against really highly defensive teams, whether it be basketball, football, or even baseball, your defensive teams tend to win those lineups. So it's not to say that they could beat Golden State or they would, but it would not be, like you say, it would be very close. And to be quite honest, only Cleveland and Chicago and Washington, I believe, would take that to a 7-game series. I don't know, Washington's kind of a weird matchup for Golden State. I think Golden State would probably run them a little bit because they're kind of almost a similar team, except Golden State's more efficient on offense. But that might not be the best matchup, but the tough matchups are those gritty teams. And any team with LeBron on is going to be a tough matchup. So that's primarily what I see and what I somewhat notice amongst most teams.
Golden State would play Memphis in the first round.
Yeah, see, they're going to beat Memphis. I think they're better than Memphis this year. Now you don't have Conley either. Even though Zach Randolph played one of his better games in the playoffs, I just don't think it's enough. Not enough, right? You know what I mean? They need more. So I would go with definitely hold my hand and say, hey, I'll definitely take Golden State. Right now I think Golden State, they just look good. I can't say anything. I think they're going to go to the finals, but I would not be surprised if it was San Antonio or the Clippers. Anybody else I don't see. So we'll have to watch as the games play out of there. What do you think, Lou? Who do you got in the West?
Well, the Golden State and Memphis is going to be an interesting matchup. Conley's out. Like, they have him expected him. He needs, like, 4 to 6 weeks to heal his injury, but he said he might try to get back sooner. And it all depends on how much the swelling goes down. If it goes down enough to where he could play with a mask on, like Rip Hamilton, then I think he'll be all right. But until then, I don't. It's going to be tough in the backcourt because we already know that Tony Allen is going to play, you know, defensively on Steph Curry for most of the game. And
ooh, have mercy.
And
have mercy on him.
There's no answer for Jeff Green as far as the Warriors have defensively. You know, Iguodala, he'll do a decent defensive job, but he comes off the bench for them, and Jeff Green's going to start. So that's going to be a tough matchup for them. And at center position, we already know that Gasol is going to, you know, have his way with Bogut. So this could actually be the 7-game series that we are going to see. We expect in the first round never happen, but this game could definitely go to 7 games. No, if not, no less than 6.
Man. So that's what you got so far. So in the West, you have Golden State coming out of the West this year.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got Golden State, and I think right now, if I had to pick the best team, right now it looks like Golden State and Washington to me. I just don't think LeBron can overcome those two losses. Those are big losses. I think, you know, J.R. Smith might have just cost them an opportunity. If the Bulls play like they're playing tonight, it's going to be tough. They're going to get banged up in that series, and I think they'll win, but I don't think they'll get past Washington. We have to see, though, because, see, we're making a big deal of what Atlanta's doing with Brooklyn and how they're struggling. Brooklyn's a good team. They play really strong down the stretch. Right, and you know,
yeah.
Brook Lopez.
I wouldn't call this. This would not, even if Brooklyn was to win, I would not call this an upset. Yeah, the 8 seed beats the number 1 seed, but I wouldn't call it upset because really, the team that Brooklyn has, they're supposed to be a playoff team this year. They just didn't have certain things
Absolutely.
Go right with them, and of course, Deron Williams isn't playing like how he should be playing, but. Aside from that, they were a solid playoff team, you know, at the start of the season. So what they're doing now doesn't really surprise me because this is how they were supposed to play. And, of course, Brook Lopez, you know, he was injured with the foot. And now that he's healthy again, he's playing great for them now. So it doesn't surprise me what they're doing because they have an advantage over Atlanta at the center position. They have the height and the length, so...
No, so you see, that's basically how it works out there. And Mark, are you there still? No, he's gone. Okay, he got out of there. Too bad. Okay. So, I agree with you, man. I think more than likely that's going to be with me right now.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have to see. I think that Atlanta will beat Brooklyn, but I don't want to say sleep on Atlanta because Atlanta – is playing that Brooklyn team is really a pretty tough team when they're working on all cylinders, they're a tough team. So, you know, that's what we got. So it looks good. Looks solid. So that's what we got. Now, for the tail end of the show, I want to get into the Pacquiao fight. And of course we made our picks already. We both already picked Mayweather. And for me basically is when it comes to there's something see just like we said, we're just talking about it. Defensive, offensive. Pacquiao's offensive, Mayweather's defensive. It's hard to beat somebody when they don't give you much to beat them with. You know what I mean? And that's the problem. I would love for Pacquiao to win. I wouldn't be upset with that at all because I like him better as an individual. But
yep.
This is not about feelings. This is about a boxing match. And if I had to base it upon skill in the ring, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. Well, actually, I would. I'd be surprised if Gil wins. And I think it's not going to be any kind of fantastic watch. I think it's going to go all 12 rounds, unanimous decision. I just think, you know, Mayweather playing his style of boxing is just going to get more plays in. You know, and I'd be very surprised if Pacquiao gets him out of his defensive element and try to go ahead and you know, switch his style up to get him to play more, which means I expect Pacquiao to take more risks in this matchup. I expect him to just go for the gusto, you know, and just swing and try to catch him with something. But as we know, we saw with Juan Manuel Marquez when, you know, Pacquiao got crazy, got a little bit loose and left himself open, and bam, he was knocked out. So he just caught him flush on the chin, and it was unexpected, but he left himself open to it. He has to be careful in this matchup, but I'll just put it like this. I think Mayweather's going to win, but I'm going for Pacquiao. That's my pick. So what do you have, Lou?
Yeah, I'll go for Pacquiao, but I think Mayweather's going to win this just based off of the fact that, you know, he's more defensive, and also he's going to do a lot more holding and, you know, jabbing, pretty much win by, you know, punches land. That's how this fight's going to turn out. The longer this fight drags out, the better it's going to go in Mayweather's favor.
And, you know, I believe that's going to happen. You know, it's sad to me, though, Lou. It's not really sad, but, you know, you have Mayweather come out and say, oh, you know, if it comes down to it, you know, I think I'm the best fighter. And it's like, you're not even close. You're not in the same conversation as some of these legends, because these legends were fighting, like, almost, what, 3 to 4 fights a year, or 5 or 6 fights a year. And they was playing like top contenders, not after they, you know, past their prime. You know what I mean? They're playing them in their prime. Like Ali faced off against Foreman, when Foreman was knocking people senseless, when people were afraid to face Foreman. You know, this is when you know they were going up. You know, he faced everybody at the top of their game, Frazier as well, Sonny Liston as well, at the height of their success, not at the back end. It's like he's picked carefully who he's faced, and then the time when he's faced them, those people have been out of their prime. Outside of some of the few young ones like Canelo Alvarez and some of these other guys. But, you know, those guys don't have the accomplishments or don't have, like, the cachet behind their name. They don't have it. So I look at it, and it's pretty safe to say, man, that, you know, Mayweather is a great fighter. He's probably the best defensive fighter that I've ever seen. I would have to say that he's the best defensive fighter, but when it comes to all-time greatness, I don't see that. I think those days are somewhat gone. I think Lennox Lewis needs to be in that conversation, because he was. He beat a lot of good people, and he slipped up and maybe lost a few, but he beat a lot of good people. He beat Holyfield. He beat a lot of people, and I give him credit. He knocked out Tyson. He pretty much ended Tyson's boxing career. And so we'll see. But a couple of picks here have been made while I was talking. Leonard Williams, big-time defensive end out of USC, goes to the Jets. And I'll tell you what, the Jets are going to have a sick-looking defense next year. That defense is going to be the best defense in the NFL next year. And I'm saying over Seattle, over all of them, I think they're going to be the best defense. And it's going to be interesting to watch and see, but that's what I expect to see from them. I mean, they just got so much talent. Richardson, now you got Williams. You got Revis on corner. You got Cromartie on the other side. And you got a host of players, man. Like, you can't pass the ball on them. Pretty soon you ain't going to be able to run the ball on them. So, but they don't have a quarterback, so they're going to struggle.
Yeah.
I mean, because Fitzpatrick's not going to get it done, and neither is Geno Smith. So, but they're going to win a lot of games because of that defense.
I was just going to say the defense is definitely going to get a lot of time on the field.
Man. Because they don't really have a running back either, but I expect them maybe later on in the second round to pick up somebody. I mean, they let Chris Johnson go. He's done. Chris is still a free agent. You see what happens when you cause problems? This guy was on the verge of being one of the best running backs in the game, him and Adrian Peterson, at the time he came in. Now, look, hanging with the wrong company, gets into an altercation, gets shot, gets the big contract, and it's done.
Yep.
So, man, so we're seeing this. So the Bears pick up Kevin White, big-time receiver, the other second-best receiver in the draft this season. I like him too, but I don't think he's Amari Cooper, but he has more upside because he's a little bit quicker. But, you know, I think he's a bit one-dimensional, and we'll see. Maybe he'll change it, and we'll see.
Yeah.
As I move forward. But, yeah. All right, we're coming to the tail end. Anything to lead us with there, Lou?
Oh, well, we got the Thunder finalizing their deal with Billy Donovan as head coach for them. And we'll get more into that situation like for the next show. And also,
well, we've got a few minutes. Tell me what you think about that. Let's get into it a little bit.
I think it's a wrap for the Thunder. I think they railroaded Scott Brooks. They made a stupid mistake. They made a huge mistake.
I think they were wrong in letting Scott Brooks go, but I'm not so down on – I like Donovan. But I would give him the benefit of the doubt, because if you can play and win basketball, even though he doesn't have any NBA experience, but if you can win multiple championships in a football school which doesn't specialize in basketball, you must be somewhat good and make that program somewhat relevant. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. It's just, now, is Kevin Durant going to stay now that Brooks is gone? Is Westbrook going to stay? I don't know about that. I think the GM really blew it on that one, in that sense. But
because they have to win. They have to win right now. Next season, it's finals or bust.
Do or die.
If they don't, because if they don't, Westbrook could go along with Kevin Durant. Because remember, we still got that new salary cap coming in with that new TV deal, and really the players that stay with the team, that stay with the current teams, are actually going to make more money off of that. But in this situation, they have to win now in order for that to work. Because if they don't, you're going to say bye-bye to at least one of those two players.
And I agree. And you know what? We're going to expound on that come Sunday. Of course, we'll have results from the fight and some NFL drafts and some NBA updates come Sunday, 8 o'clock. Lou, you're the man. You're the greatest, my man. We will catch them. We'll be there on Sunday. And we want everybody to have a good weekend. Sports Field is great. And we'll be ready for you then. Peace with the beautiful music.